This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are joined by Ken Hunnameter to talk about the collaboration beer that Goose Island is doing for Pitchfork Music Festival. All that and more on this week's episode.
What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, it's got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Rah, rah, rah!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And we got a special guest with us in the studio, Ken Hunnameter.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome. Fellow podcaster with me. This is a worlds have collided here.
I'm not sure how to act.
I stand by my earlier statement. This might be the biggest guest we've had on the show.
Well, I mean, anything's bigger than Justin Mayer.
Damn, throwing down right now.
Shots fired.
So if this is your first time listening to Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I usually get together. We talk about the events we made it to, coming up events, and of course, we're drinking beer. And no exception this time, Ken brought us this newest beer from Goose Island, a collaboration beer with Chance the Rapper, right?
Yeah, we're getting a sneak peek here, man. What are we drinking here, Ken?
Well, the past few years of Pitchfork, we've done an artist collaboration series, starting out with Run the Jewels, which was awesome. We did Sharon Van Etten last year. And we're bringing it hometown this year. We're partnering up with Chance the Rapper to make a Hellas-style lager, which was a beer that he felt really passionate about. And it's called No Collar. It's pretty good.
So did he like Hellas lagers? Was that like his thing, or he just wanted like a easy drinking beer? Or?
Yeah, he didn't come in and say, I love Hellas lager.
Yeah, right.
But
like, damn, you know, this guy knows his beer.
I know, right. But he definitely wanted something that was more of a working man type of style of beer that a lot of people could get into. And hence the name, No Collar. I mean, it's for everybody. It's not for blue collars, not for white collars, for everybody.
Oh, nice. And so is this going to be around town or is only available at Pitchfork?
It will be around town. You'll see it certainly at Pitchfork, and but draft only, no package, and Chicago only.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, we're talking about festivals. Pitchfork's one of the bigger festivals in town. Lollapalooza is fun, but, you know, North Coast, same way. It's, like, not really my demographic, but I really like Pitchfork. And you guys have done, like, a really cool job of, like, taking Pitchfork back and, like, really owning it in, like, the last few years.
Yeah, we were actually the first sponsor of Pitchfork Festival back when it was called the Intonation Music Festival. And then Brewer with Larger Pockets kind of took it away from us. And then 3 years ago, we kind of took it back. And we're... That's kind of why we do this stuff. We're so happy to have it back that we kind of go a little bit maybe overboard, I don't know, and just take on way too many projects and try and make all these different beers that are exclusive to the festival. So, but we have a lot of fun doing it.
Right.
And so now is Run the Jewel guys and Chance the Rapper going to have like a throwdown? Like now that, you know, two rapper beers.
I hope so, man. I would love to see it.
Jello. Just wrestle in a big bowl of Jello.
I don't think I want to see those guys wrestle in Jello.
I have no idea why I just said that.
They could wrestle just in Killer Mike's stomach.
Oh, man. But this beer is great. It's super easy drinking. I know we're already like halfway through the growler here. And I just feel like we just started. But yeah, it's tasty, and I can see this being great at Pitchfork on a hot day.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was the goal.
Nice, spicy, noble, hot, clean, malt sweetness. It's good. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah. Well, as we kill this growler, should we chat about this past week and what we made it to?
Absolutely.
Nick, what did you do?
All right, so I went to one event, right? Yeah. Blues Fest was last week.
Okay.
And so precursor to Blues Fest was the Louisiana Brews and Blues event at Buddy Guy's. So it's the Louisiana Tourism Board. They were in town for like 2 days. They hit a handful of events, and this was one of them. And then come to find out, Buddy Guy's from Louisiana, so they had this beer event, this beer showcase at his place, like four Louisiana breweries, and then a lot of Louisiana-inspired food. So I went
Bubblegum shrimp.
Bubblegum shrimp. yeah, catfish, like huge shrimps, you know. And yeah. Everyone there is like super cool. So they're like, you know, he's wearing like an ascot. He's wearing like the guy who runs the whole thing. And he's got like this hat on. He's like, so what is it you do again? Like, come meet this guy. You know, he's got the heavy accent. You know, it was like, it was really cool. Okay. It was kind of.
I heard no accent.
Yeah,
there.
Was that your Louisiana accent?
That was my Louisiana accent.
Work on it. Come back next week.
It wasn't enough like Southern French.
It was a Southern drawl. Like, yeah, I definitely need to work on that. But, you know, there were ladies named like, you know, Blanche and, you know, Carla Devereaux.
For real? That's
like,
a real name?
No joke. Okay. Yeah, and they had like, you know, like. There were like four or five towns in Louisiana represented, and they brought four beers out, and they wanted to showcase food. They were basically in town to celebrate New Orleans,
okay,
and talk about tourism to New Orleans. Chicago is their in their top 10 markets.
Really?
So,
I've never made it down to New Orleans.
Neither have I. It's always been on my list.
Yeah, it makes three of us. I bought tickets to an event in New Orleans once, and then when it was time to go, I was like, eh.
They totally flaked out.
I was like, dude, I'm just gonna stay here and play. You know.
It's too hot.
Sega, Genesis.
The tourism board should probably fly us out, you know, pay for us to be there, and we'll talk about it nonstop forever. Right. And be like, oh, man, New Orleans is great.
Yeah, we'll totally go. I'll run down the breweries real quick. Tin Roof, Covington, Abita, obviously, Parish Brewing, and yeah, those are the ones.
Okay.
So Abita, obviously, they had a really good beer. The Strawberry Harvest Lager.
I haven't had that one.
That was pretty solid. It's like a seasonal offering from them. I was really impressed with the Tin Roof IPA. It was called Juke Joint. And then Parrish had a beer called Canebrake. Canebrake was an American wheat ale with sugarcane syrup.
Okay.
They were all pretty interesting. Some of them were okay. I think the Covington and that Tin Roof, both the Tin Roof offerings were really good.
All right. Yeah,
so.
Nice. Okay. I guess I only knew about Abita.
Yeah, that was my only one as well.
Yeah.
Same here, man. Purple Haze. We all know Purple Haze. I think Purple Haze is what's keeping the lights on over there.
Little Turbo Dog action.
Oh, yeah.
I like that beer.
So, yeah. Oh, but they partied hard, man. It went from being like, you know, enjoy these beers and enjoy this, you know, this Southern cuisine to, hey, let's have some rum punch. And you Yankees drink your martinis with fucking vodka, and it really should be with gin.
It's supposed to be gin.
That's true. Yeah. Classic cocktail.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, it got off the rails quick. So they party hard. It was from 4 to 8. I probably left around 6.
Jeez, you can't even party with – you did not represent the North well. This is how they're going to beat us. They're
and on the way out, they were like, look at this fucking Yankee. So I can leave in early. You can't even party with us.
Did you bring your Sega to your hotel room?
It was good, and it was a good event because WXRT was there, and they were broadcasting on like a Thursday night for live blues on the first floor, and this party was on the second floor, and it was a celebration of Chicago blues with a New Orleans twist or a Louisiana twist, I should say, the whole state, not just one city.
Nice. Right.
So it's good stuff.
Very cool. I made it to a couple events. One was another beer dinner at Side Door. So what was it? Maybe 3 months ago, we were over at Side Door and did an episode there.
Yeah, we did. That was the Bourbon County or the Goose Island event.
Yeah, when Rick Wilt worked at Goose Island.
Fucking missed that dude.
But that Bourbon County dinner was great. And then I went to
your Rick Wilt was better than my New Orleans accent.
God, I would hope so.
But yeah, all right. So Solemn Oath.
Right. So this one was all Solemn Oath and beers paired with our food paired with that. The food was okay. I feel like this was my least favorite of the beer dinners. All the beer was good, all the food was good, but I was missing the steak course with this dinner. It's at next to Lowry's, which is Side Door. They had steak tacos. I can get steak tacos at a lot of places, but I can't get like a nice good steak cooked or a good hunk of meat, I guess, from anywhere.
Like a nice prime.
I'm just looking for a nice hunk of meat. That's all. Just Brad on a lonely single boys night.
Yeah.
It's not too much to ask, you know?
I just don't know where to go.
I can give you some intersections.
But it was a good time. Definitely a smaller crowd there and more people that knew the Solemn Oath guys. And it just feels like maybe Solemn Oath's not a crowd drawer as Moody Tongue or even Goose Island is.
I could see that, you know. I mean, their beer's really good, but, you know, if you're just throwing, like, a Solemn Oath party on a weeknight, you know, I could see some folks showing up and some folks saying, you know. But then a lot of that, some of that might have to do with the venue. So like Sidedoor, this place Sidedoor, they're throwing events like all the time.
Uh-huh.
Maybe like every it seems like every 3 weeks, every month.
Yeah, so. They usually have a beer dinner, I think, every month or every 2 months. So there's talks about a Three Floyds McKellar one maybe coming up next. So I'm sure that'll draw in a lot of people.
That would probably be a draw, yeah.
Yeah. And the food is always very tasty, so. Yeah, this was just my least favorite, but I did have a good time.
Right on.
The really other cool event I made it to was the West Loop Craft Beer Fest, or West Loop Fest. I guess it wasn't just a craft beer fest.
So this is right downtown, right by between Ogilvie and Union Stations, something like that?
Yeah, over there on Randolph and Halstead.
Okay.
Or not Halstead, Randolph.
That's
and,
Clinton.
Clinton.
That's Clinton.
Yeah. And they shut down Randolph for the like first time ever. Randolph was shut down, so they had this going across Clinton on both sides, and just everyone out there pouring beer. Smaller crowd than was for the closing festival last year, because it's the same fest but kind of reimagined.
Yeah, and I know last year it was a close for Chicago Craft Beer Week.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was really only on one side of Randolph there, so it was packed. I just remember being shoulder to shoulder with every, you weren't there last year because you hurt your foot.
This That's right. Like, right. Yeah.
Were you able to go to any of them? There were like maybe two or three of them.
Have no.
You been out to that one yet?
Okay.
That was a cool one. Very few are in the city. We talk about that a lot. Like very
and
few.
And this is,
best.
It's not connected to Chicago Craft Beer Week anymore?
Not this year. Yeah. This is just like the Friends of West Loop. I think the issue was like they wanted to have it be the close, but there were some issues with closing Randolph Street during Memorial Day, which is when the Craft Beer Week closed, Chicago Craft Beer Week closed.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's a nice fest. I think they're going to keep it outside of Craft Beer Week. I think this is going to become a West Loop fest. And it's just nice. You're drinking in the middle of the street. You got the Sears Willis Tower right there. It's like, oh, hey, this is kind of nice. It was a hot day, though, early on that day, on Saturday. So definitely needed a few beers to keep cool. All Rise was one of the sponsors there, so they had a bunch of new beers going on. They have like one called Field of Dreams.
That's their hoppy wheat, I believe.
Yeah, that was pretty tasty. I'm usually going for their Orange Wit.
Mm-hmm.
That one could be a new go-to.
I'm also, I'm here for all things Cobra Lounge if you have any questions.
Which, have you tried any of these new beers?
Yes, I have.
All of them? Okay.
I'm a big fan of their Kolsch right now.
Yeah.
What's their Kolsch called?
Man, I couldn't tell you.
Is that the name, or you don't know?
But it's quite drinkable, and they if you're going into the bar there, they serve it pretty traditional with the smaller size stange glass, which is the straight sided Kolsch glass.
Okay.
So I think they're only $3, but they're smaller, so it's that kind of thing where you would traditionally order like a whole tray full of them for your group of friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then each person would drink like three of them and then you get another round. So they're doing that.
They're doing a tray or
they don't have the tray, but they have the glass.
Okay.
So,
all right. That's nice.
A little nod to Germany from our friends at All Rise.
That's cool. That it's cheaper. Cause I always feel like I'm getting cheated with that little skinny glass.
That's true. Yeah. It's only a $3 beer. So you pound back a lot.
I'm really excited that they're a brewery now. You know, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they are officially brewing there now, I think, because they have new beers. I think this was probably their first, progression into actually brewing there with the new stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So in direct contrast to the event that you went to in the West Loop, I went to the Brew to Be Wild up in Lincoln Park.
It sounds like you probably should have been where I was. I had a great time.
Get your
time.
Motor running. I was there briefly. You know, I was hanging out at Lake Effect, and the Lake Effect guys.
You were there less than you were at the Louisiana event? Less amount of time?
I feel like everyone's ganging up on me for being like the old guy that like leaves events early now. You know, so, I mean, I have my moments where I become that guy. But yeah, so I was there for just a little bit, right? And yeah, this event was it was to the max. See, the thing of like this place, it was at Lincoln Park Zoo, Brew to Be Wild, and it's a deceptive space because you can put like like a July 4th weekend, you know, they're putting like 18,000 people at Lincoln Park Zoo, like, but it's so spread out.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like this is true. This is the truth. Yeah,
that's a big number.
That's a lot of people. Oh, so then like every
he's looking this up.
Every station that you go to. it's like nonstop, and you know, people are less involved than I think they would be at a West Loop, where they want to know, like, hey, what's the style? Who makes this beer? I think at an event like Born to Brew to Be Wild, they're kind of like, hey, I don't really like dark beers. I don't really like heavy beers.
Or they just want to get a beer and get out of the way, so somebody else can get a beer.
Exactly. Yeah, it's more like that kind of crowd.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, it's just making an observation.
The West Loop crowd, you know, they wanted to know about the beer. There was lots of new breweries there, and people were like, who are you? Like, tell me about you. And
what about the people pouring? Are they sending brewers out to pour, or is it just kind of like brewery representatives?
At West Loop, it was the brewers there, like, or the reps from the area. Like, Bob was pouring for Virtue, or not Virtue, for Vandermill. The Tighthead guy was there, not Billy, but the other guy.
Okay.
Bruce.
Yeah, these people from Cahoots, they're like a new brewery. They know our buddy Brian Gallagher fairly well.
Oh, wrong show. I was about to do a shout out.
I'm pretty sure the All Rise guys were, you know, I've seen them before. So the West Loop had the brewers. And
yeah, I know at Haymarket, the Haymarket guys, I was at Haymarket when it ended, when West Loop ended. And then you saw like Jana and Crowley and Valentine and Trevor, the guy they got from like Two Brothers. They were all coming from that fest.
But
to your point, yeah.
The Linkin Park one, nobody, right?
No, I mean, you might have seen like some of the smaller breweries bring out like, you know, the guys making the beer. But I think everyone else maybe had like representatives. I know like maybe Atlas, their brewers there, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, maybe that level. Yeah.
All right.
But then everyone else probably had their reps out, yeah.
That was a busy Saturday. I feel like you had to decide, are you going to be at that fest or the Linkin Park one, or there was another one happening too, so kind of spread yourself thin, especially if you're a new brewery.
Yeah, I want to say maybe even High Park was that weekend, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Damn. Ken, did you make it to any fun events this past week?
Oh, man, I'd have to look at my calendar.
Or any great drinking that went down?
Well, I mean, the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup last night,
this
so I went
true.
Out.
Yeah.
And
the sixth Stanley Cup in Hawks history, so cheers to those guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I went out. We had a massive storm last night, and I had intended on going elsewhere, but as a result, I decided to stay very close to home base so as not to
drowned.
Well, there's that, and then
I can't swim.
Spend about $150 in surcharges on an Uber.
Yeah.
So I just walked down the street to my local High Dive, and I caught the game there. It was funny because their draft system went down also, so that was kind of like a insane time for them. You could see they were totally stressed out. So everyone's drinking cans. It was a lot of Daisy Cutter going around, High Life, 312. Like it was all of that.
People were freaking out, man. I know. I was at I started last night at Kaiser Tiger. I watched like the first two periods there. But for like an hour, the and this is the second time I've thrown my pen for some reason. No, but Kaiser Tiger's DirecTV, it was so stormy that DirecTV wasn't on.
Oh, geez,
I mean, we caught most of the game, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, DirecTV wasn't on, so it can make for some, you know, you got a packed house, the Hawks can clinch it at home, and then like, yeah, the draft goes out, or you know,
not what you want to see.
That's not what you want to be. The TV goes out. That's not where you want
right,
to be.
Right. Yeah. People riot, I guess.
Right.
Well, that's awesome. Well, sounds like we all had a great past week. Should we jump into this coming week and some stuff that you should be marking on your calendar?
There's a couple events going on. I think we should get right into them.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. We're going to go Friday.
Friday? We're going all the way to Friday?
We're going all the way to Friday. All
right.
Are you cool with that?
That sounds good. Right, wasn't there a Goose event? Was there a Goose event before this?
Yeah.
A new Fulton
that.
Wood
yeah.
beer?
Yeah, Monday.
That's Monday.
All right, we'll come. We'll get to that.
So we'll
all right, we'll
to
go
that.
To Friday. Let's
all right, cool.
Do that.
Let's go to Friday. We got the Chicago Ale Fest coming up on Friday.
So Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. Chicago Ale Fest is it's the first time that I can think of that a beer event is going to be at Buckingham Fountain. Yeah.
Because it got canceled last year, right?
Last year, they targeted August, and then it got canceled because the city was tired of, like, you know, people kind of ruining all these landmarks, right?
Okay.
So, like, this was post-Lollapalooza where this
but they
was
told us
be.
It was because of weather, and it was probably one of the best days ever that day.
Yeah.
So they got burnt by the good weather.
Ooh, yeah.
The jig is up.
So this is a $50 ticket. It'll be the 19th and the 20th. That's a Friday and Saturday. And this is our friend Josh Sego. So he does the Lombard Ale Fest, Naperville Ale Fest. There's another. Oh, Brewer's Eve.
Okay.
He did all these events.
Yeah, so, he was on.
And he was on the show. So and that's pretty cool. And, yeah, that's going to be good. So
right, I'll be out there on Friday.
You'll be out there
see
on Friday?
See you guys out there.
I'll be there on Friday as well.
All right. Nice. I wasn't invited.
I love how Brad's like holding the microphone this week too. It's almost right. Like slow jams with the Brad Jim. Because he's got the mic in his hand. It's really cool. It's just fun to watch, man. The visuals, you know.
And it's not like a handheld microphone. Studio microphone. It looks hilarious.
Man, you didn't have to tell everyone. This is audio. No one can see what's happening. It's
big. You got a boom stand right behind you that you could have rigged up.
I could have screwed it into. Yeah. All right. Anything else on Friday?
I got nothing on Friday. Let's move to Saturday.
So Saturday is the Workforce Brewing first anniversary shindig. So Workforce, new brewery in the area. I don't think I've had any of their beers.
Yeah, they started as a homebrew shop called the Chicago Brew Works. And it's out in Plainfield. And the expansion to the homebrew shop, that the expansion included having their own brewery.
Okay.
You know, so.
So yeah, this will go from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. So it's kind of like an all-day event. And they're going to have Chicago Dogs food truck there until noon, until they run out of dogs.
Right on.
Nick will be there from 10 to 10:30 if you want to catch him out there.
You know, high fives. High fives are available. You know.
If he can make it that long.
Right? Oh, here we go. Shot number three.
But yeah, so have you had anything from Workforce yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm very curious.
There was someone else that recently celebrated their 1 year. I think it was it 350?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh, you're 1 year old and I don't think I've had any of your beer.
It's moving really fast. Yeah. I remember during CCBW hearing 45 Chicago breweries and like almost 100 local breweries. And yeah, whatever this last wave is that's been happening the last year or two, it's coming on. It's coming online so fast. It's hard to keep up with. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, definitely check this out, especially if you're in the area in Plainfield or, you know, looking to try their beers for the first time. It might be a good event to check out, and I'm sure they'll have lots of stuff on or some of their favorites. So, that's Saturday. Anything else happening on Saturday?
Up in Grand Rapids, Founders Fest is happening on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
It's a $25 ticket from 3 to 11. They're going to do 9 bands, and, you know, Founders has a serious vault of beers, so... I'm thinking about going to that.
Really?
Brewbus is going to like the Sox Park for some reason. So I got Saturday off. I'm thinking about going up there.
Is there an easy way up there?
You could take Amtrak up there. Okay. But you know, if you drive with the time change, it's only like a 2 hour drive.
Okay.
You know.
But then it's a 3 hour drive back.
It's a 3 hour, yeah.
Or 4 hour.
Isn't the Megabus an option as well? Grand Rapids?
If you're into that sort of thing. I think Megabus
I'm
does
so into it, dude.
I'm pretty sure it's an option, yeah. I mean, let's take this helicopter if we got that option. I'm down for that too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like not that far of a drive. I was up there for Memorial Day. It wasn't that bad of a drive.
No, okay. It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I've never been up to Founders. Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes is like, you know, you can get to we're talking about Naperville. It was like you can get to like Greenbush and sometimes even Founders faster than you can get to Naperville in a car, depending on what time you go. You know.
And yeah. Haymarket will be just past Greenbush.
Yeah.
In the near future. I don't know how near of future, but that'll be a little bit of a corridor where you can check out some breweries out in the southern part of Michigan.
Yeah, Southwest Michigan, man. That's pretty cool. So, that's all I got for Saturday.
All right. What about Sunday?
Nothing on Sunday. And I believe Monday is the St. Genevieve launch. Do I have that right?
Correct.
All right. Now, St. Genevieve, Fulton Wood, Chicago only draft only series from Goose Island Innovation Beers. Where's the St. Genevieve event going to be?
We're going to do that one at City Winery.
Oh, awesome.
Right down the street from here. It's a sangria-inspired beer, so we kind of wanted to continue with that wine connection there.
Makes sense.
So,
what makes it, sangria-inspired beer? Like, what are you guys doing? Is fruit floating around in there?
Yeah, there's a lot of fruit, obviously. And then we also took some components from the barrel side. So there's a portion of it that's aged in brandy barrels and a portion of it that's aged in wine barrels with that crazy amount of fruit. I think there's like 7 different fruits in there. It's things like blueberries, pears, mango, pineapple.
Durian.
there's a welcomed lack of durian.
Permission? Is there permission? No.
And then it's that is kind of a barrel concentrate, and it's blended much like we do with Sophie, blended back with a fresh Belgian-style wit.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So very citrusy, got a nice red hue to it, refreshing. It's a good beer.
I tell you, man, City Winery is a righteous location. You know, they get these grapes in, and they're actually fermenting stuff on site, but then it's also a concert hall, and then it's also like a restaurant. You know,
John Oates just played there, so that's good enough for
me. Did he really?
Yeah.
See, I walk by there all the time, and I've never had like a good reason to go in there.
Yeah, so. I was there last week for like JC and the Uptown Sound, like a local.
Oh, band. Nice.
Yeah, but he did like it was a wine and music pairing. So then like they offered you a flight, and then the sommelier would come out and talk about why she picked this beer for these set of songs.
Wine.
Cool.
Okay.
It was actually pretty cool.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's a good venue, man.
Remember, like fucking Prince played there,
dude. The purple one on stage. Fucking Prince. Right away.
It's yeah. that big of a space?
No.
That's it the was thing. Just that it wasn't cool. that big.
Holy shit. Okay. What time does that kick off on Monday?
It should be 6 o'clock, I believe.
And that's kind of an open event to anybody, right?
Yep. Come out. I'll buy you a beer.
All right. Cool. All right. So that's Monday.
Yeah.
What do we got before we record again next week?
All right. So one more event at Smiley Brothers up in Evanston. Barley's Angels. They're going to do a tour and tasting of Smiley Brothers. They're going to do, like, you know, pretzels, pizza, sausage, all that jazz, homemade brownies, and then they're going to drink all of Smiley Brothers beers.
Okay.
That's a $25 ticket on June 23rd from 7 to 9. Barley's Angels is the cool name for, like, a beer appreciation group.
Yeah, that is pretty nice.
That's pretty righteous. Nice. Yeah.
Smiley Brothers is another brewery that I haven't had.
Same here. I know nothing about Smiley
Maybe
Brothers.
Like one beer.
Other than the fact that they're in Evanston, that's all I know about them.
Right, because they're one of three, or is it one of four?
Yeah. Smiley Brothers is up there. Temperance is up there.
Sketchbook,
and then there's one more. Peckish Pig.
Okay.
Is in Evanston.
Yeah. Don't know Peckish Pig either. Yeah. Huh. All right, Evanston, man. Lots happening up there. I think they have that like custard festival that happens like in downtown Evanston. And I think Temperance.
This week on Chicago Beer Fest.
Custard.
A little for you, a little for you.
But I think Temperance and Sketchbook has been asked to like supply the beer when it's been gone to like the big guys before. It's like, oh, let's keep it local here
well,
and you guys
cool.
do the beer.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So awesome. Well, then we got Pitchfork coming up and we're drinking this beer. But what else is happening at Pitchfork besides drinking and music? Is there, or is that what we're going for? What other beers?
Mostly, the drinking and the music. They always have like a poster show out there and stuff like that. There's actually a lot of stuff that you can do if you're kind of just walking around that outer ring. They have a lot of booths set up with artists and stuff like that.
Right.
For me, mainly it's music and beer.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And the drinking.
And the drinking, yeah.
And the drinking of the beer.
And the drinking of the beer. The beer gets drank. A Goose always has like a nice tent or thing set up with like tappings every hour. Is that going to happen again?
Yeah, we bring some special stuff out. Like the idea with that is we've always kind of been like connected to the music scene. And that goes back like to Greg Hall. Like he was a huge music guy and still is. So we wanted to kind of be involved in the festival where our tappings are kind of like the lineup, the music lineup at Pitchfork. So if you're interested in a certain beer, it's going to be on at this time. And it's not a new concept, but it kind of fits in with you know, the whole music concert type of vibe.
And it works with the other beer events and beer festivals where there's usually tappings at certain times and people are maybe like the beer growers are accustomed to that, but maybe the music people don't know that happens for beer.
Yeah, exactly. Let's try to bridge that gap. I mean, if you look at us, we normally don't do collaboration beers with other breweries per se, but we will do them with, say, chefs or musical artists, anything that's, you know, kind of weird. That's more of our game. So it kind of fits in with that. It's bringing in a crowd from over here that may not be familiar with beer, and then vice versa.
Okay. And so since this is like the, what, is it the fourth or fifth music collaboration beer? Because there was two.
There's Sharon Van Etten, there's Run the Jewels.
Now and then we, each year we do one with the Pitchfork crew.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
As well.
And that's, is that the same beer, or are they always changing the Pitchfork
beer? No, we're always changing that one up.
What's this year's Pitchfork beer, do you know?
That one I don't know yet.
Top secret.
I don't know. I have no news for you boys.
What's been your favorite Pitchfork beer so far?
Man.
Because that Run the Jewels beer was really good.
Run the Jewels was one of the best beers of that year, like, period.
I mean, I have to give it to that one. Even, it was just the total experience for me, because that was just one of the coolest things I've ever done, is be even somewhat close to that project and hanging out with those guys and just feeling their vibe. And then the beer was just ridiculously good, using some really cool experimental hops. It was a Belgian IPA, so it had a really cool character to it, and it was just... I mean, there's a lot of memories for me with that beer.
Yeah, totally. And then you got to spend a little time with them when they came and did the show, like a year later. For like
even
the
like to
album.
This day, whenever they come into town, I usually spend some time with them, and it's they're fucking awesome.
Yeah,
they're so awesome.
Yeah,
that's good. But this beer is great too. I feel like this is even more of a summertime beer than No Collar.
Yeah, we're really happy with the No Collar. It's, like we said, Hella style, but a little hoppier, but kind of stays true. It's got those noble hops. There's three different hop varieties in there, Hallertau, Mitterfrü, Tettnang, and Spalt. So staying pretty traditional on the variety of hop, but the hopping rate is what kind of sets it apart. Because it is pretty damn hoppy.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, we know a Ken Honeymeter, Ken Honey Money, for a lot of different things. Kenzie's in Honey Sugar. You know, we know you for a lot of different things. But, you know, bringing it back to what you got going on with Goose, like, you provide a lot of the video content for Goose, right?
Correct.
And then, so what are some of the stuff you're working on? Like, I know there's a Bourbon County documentary in the works, right? Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. The idea is that we never have really spent much time telling the story of Bourbon County because we never really had to. Yeah, the beer pretty much sells itself, or at least it has in my tenure there at Goose. So there hasn't been any real need to try and bring awareness to it or anything like that. But we wanted to take a step back and tell it from beginning to end. So the absolute beginning, like going out to the forests, the white oak forests in Missouri, and watching people make barrels and talking to people who actually distill bourbon and age that bourbon, and finding those deep stories about what happens before we even make Bourbon County Stout, and then following it all the way through the end. So that's what we're working on. It should be something fun come Black Friday time.
Okay.
And all that. So look forward to it. We're really looking forward to sharing it with everybody.
Is it going to be a series of videos, like each step, or is it going to be one long?
It'll be a series. So each step of the process has its own little segment, and we'll release them as they come.
To build the hype.
It's all about the hype.
All about the hype. We're talking about rapper beers. We've got to have the hype man.
Right on, man.
Well, that's awesome. Cool. Fun events happening. But we got some beer news before we get out of here.
All right, let's dive into a little bit of beer news. First up, Jake Melnick's and two brothers have a collaboration ale out. It's called Hop Signals Pale Ale. So they only made 11 kegs of this beer. And what they did was they took the hops and they smoked them in Jake Melnick's Southern Pride smoker. Southern Pride smoker.
They have their own smoker?
They got their own smoker at Jake Melnick's, apparently. Who knew? I didn't know that.
I don't know. I've only been over there a couple times. I forgot.
Their wings are really good.
Is that just what they named it?
Their smoker.
How much Southern Pride is in this smoker?
Mine's is called Lucy.
That's your smoker's name?
Yeah. Well, it is now.
All right. So now if you do a beer with the wood, you go Lucy's.
Lucy Juicy Goosey.
Lucy Juicy Goosey Pride Smoker. So, I wonder if it's like, what is it, wet hops, or they just took like hot pellet? I don't know, but. That's the collaboration that they've got going on. Lagunitas, they released their first in the offering of one-hitters, which is their one-off beers. So they went and got these.
Sure it is.
Yeah. They got these. They got these 20 barrel fermenters, and they made this beer called Citrus Anisus. It's a 8% blood orange pale ale.
Yeah,
that's the first
20 barrel hot boxes.
Yeah, they got. They got 20 barrel hot boxes though. They got. So they said, hey, you know, they brought in some smaller fermenters just to run this off in like bottles and on draft.
That's cool.
Okay. You know, and that'll be the first beer in a Chicago only series of beers from them.
Okay.
You know, one hitters is what they're calling that.
Because this is like a complaint of going to the brewery here. There's like, oh, you have the same beers I can get anywhere. Like
everything
this
on tap you can get at the store.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they're trying to like, you know, remedy that by having this offerings like these. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they do a Firkin on Fridays, just like, you know, just like Half Acre.
Just like Half Acre does? Okay.
Yeah.
Stole that from them.
Totally.
Probably should sue. Yeah.
A little bit more of Lagunitas news. Our sources have confirmed that we talked about this third. This is breaking news,
just
right?
Then.
This just did. So they've got two locations, Petaluma, Chicago. We talked about their third location that they were looking for. We thought it was going to be Austin or St. Charles, West Virginia.
St. Charles, Illinois.
No, St. Charles, Illinois. No, either Austin, Texas or West Virginia. We confirmed that it's going to be New Orleans, Louisiana for spot number three.
Did you get that info from your event last week from the Louisiana guys?
No, he left by that.
I was gone by that point. So this actually happened. Our sources, we met with our sources last night. Actually,
I'm so curious about these sources.
We met with our sources last night in Logan Square, and so they're actually they're to the point where they're giving Chicago employees the opportunity to go down to New Orleans and look for housing and consider actually transferring down to New Orleans.
I mean, they all just like started.
It's been 2 years. It's been 2 years. Like was, you know,
they've been here for 2 years.
The Chicago brewery has been open for 2 years, 24 months.
I feel like you're making a bad mistake if you leave Chicago to go to Louisiana. I'm sorry for this tourism board that came here.
So much Louisiana bashing.
How the hell are we going to get tickets to go down to Louisiana now?
You're ruining this.
They got to convince me.
Don't blow this for us, Brad.
That's the tactic. Okay. Playing hard to get.
Yeah.
A little tickle.
I don't want to go there.
Yeah, man. So New Orleans is going to be the third location for Lagunitas. Speaking of Half Acre, we brought them up. They're in the news again because they won a silver medal at Great American Beer Fest for this beer. It was called, help me out, guys. What was this beer called?
Heyoko.
It was called Heyoko. I'm the one doing the news asking for fucking help here.
They told me to forget about the name, so I totally forgot.
Yeah, so the beer was called Heyoko. It won a silver medal at JBF. In January of this year, people complained, so they changed the name of the beer to Sunita. And now that same beer is under name change again. So today they announced that they're going to change it to
Nowhere?
Gone
Away.
The Gone Away IPA. So apparently there's this brewery. We don't know who it is exactly, but apparently one of the candidates for possibly sending like the cease and desist, that brewery is called Mountain State Brewing, and they're in West Virginia, and they have a beer called the Seneca IPA. It's a year-round offering from them. So
my sources have confirmed that it's not Lagunitas.
It's not Lagunitas. Okay.
I'm going on record.
All right.
And, you know, no news is bad news. Is that the saying? Something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess. So this is like this beer is delicious. It won award and won a medal and everything, so it is a good beer. It's just kind of like a silly thing at this point.
It's got to be a drag for them.
Yeah, they should just call it the Half Acre IPA and just be done with
and
it.
And just like, keep it rolling. Yeah,
no one.
You know what sucks is that this is just their winter IPA. Like, it's not even like one of their core beers. But yeah, so this is like the third name change for that
right.
beer. Yeah. The IPA category at JBF, 279 entries, the largest category in the history of JBF, and Half Acre took a silver last year.
That's pretty good.
And it's likely that they have a lot of these cans probably around. Like, they've probably ordered these cans.
Yeah, you order cans by the fuckload.
Yeah.
Like, yo, hey, I need cans.
It says that. It,
one
it comes
fuckload.
It comes in a box.
You like
and
the fuckload?
And it says one and fuckload.
Yeah, that's got to be a drag. So, but sometimes if it's an amicable type of agreement, that other brewery who brought about the litigation will actually let you run through packaging and then just don't order any more packaging.
Yeah.
Like, finish what you got, and that's pretty cool. But with this being a seasonal thing, maybe they haven't even gotten that far. Maybe they just ordered for last season.
They used up all their cans. And, right. Yeah.
Well, who knows?
Hopefully, but, man, who's this no-name brewery?
Yeah, how many of us have had beers from Mountain State Brewing in West Virginia?
I can't say I've had too many beers from West Virginia.
No. I'm out.
So there's that. Little bit more news. Goose Island. There's these series.
God, again?
Goddamn Goose Island. We can't stop talking about it. So at Millennium Park, right, they do music concerts every week in the summer there. There's maybe four times a year where, most of the time it's BYOB, but on four occasions, Goose is the only vendor. For certain concerts. Yeah, there's Downtown Sound, which is on Mondays. So Dawes opened for Hozier. Hozier's the guy that sings Take Me to Church.
You just said a lot of weird words. Dawes for Hozier's?
Dawes.
Dawes. Dawes is the opening act for Hozier. Okay. Right? So Hozier did a...
Oh, these are bands.
These are bands.
Okay.
Yeah. Those. So there was the Dawes and Hozier concert.
Maybe you should start a music podcast. Never heard of these guys?
Never heard of them. Play them.
Yeah. The only song I knew all night was Take Me to Church.
Right. Okay.
So Goose brought the core lineup, right? Green Line, Sophie, Matilda, 312, IPA. They made about $130,000 in 3 hours.
Okay.
With these beers. Yeah. It's pretty cool. So I feel like that's newsworthy.
They're fucking killing it. I didn't know that.
They're fucking killing it.
That's a lot of money, yeah.
Yeah.
We're out there every week though, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Goose has a serious presence out there. The coolest part about this show was that fireworks, this was on a Wednesday night. So fireworks were on a Wednesday night. This guy's singing Take Me to Church, it's Last Call for beer, and then fireworks are going off all at the same time, which is kind of cool. You know?
All right.
Yeah. The only song I knew was Take Me to Church, so when he had two encores, I thought it was kind of weird. I'm like, dude, we know your song already, so just go.
play the one again. Yeah. Play the hit. Just play the hit over and
but
over.
But one of the encore songs was a soft rock version of Warren G's Regulate.
Oh, okay.
Which was actually...
I know that song.
Was it good?
It was righteous. It was a blend of, like, the sample from...
Be real.
From
it sounds pretty terrible.
Who was it? Michael McDonald, right? Like, the original sample, the Doobie Brothers or whoever it was. It was a blend of that song plus Regulate.
Okay. You know?
And he got out pretty quick.
I went and saw Maps and Atlases instead that night.
Yeah.
That ruled.
I want to see... You had Maps and Atlases at the Barrel Warehouse.
Yeah, and they played the Block Party, the 312 Block Party 1 year, too. They opened up for St. Vincent that year.
Oh, nice, yeah.
That was awesome.
On a side note, whenever there's a Barrel Warehouse concert, Brad and I need to be on the list, whatever the list is.
We just had Wire in the other day, old school punk band.
Did you know about this?
I saw an Instagram. I
don't know. I'm on the wrong mailing list.
Get on that Sound Opinion stuff, man.
Is there a Block Party in the works already?
There is. We have locked down some artists, and it's going to be awesome. I can't really divulge who is going to be. We haven't announced that yet, but trust me, it's going to be a party.
So is it going to be over here at Fulton Wood or at the Barrel Warehouse?
So we are going to switch it up this year, I believe. We're gonna move it just one block over, so it's going to be right in front of the brewery on Fulton as opposed to on Walnut, which is the block south.
Okay.
So that'll be pretty cool. Might be able to pop into the tap room, have a beer in there. Newly opened tap room.
That tap room is nice. I finally made it over there. Very nice.
I really dig that space.
I heard you left your card there.
I left my card there. shout out to whoever was involved with sending me a text to come back the next day.
Yeah, getting texts from my coworker, Jen. Hey, do you have Nick's number? I was like, yeah. And I knew right away. It was like the first day it was open. I was like, I bet you he's the first person to leave his credit card there.
You know what's funny?
And it was true.
I left and after this was bugged, the knife or beer in the glass. And then I went to a break
That's
room.
Right.
Break room after that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Let me go ahead and close out. And I'm looking at my wallet and I'm like, hey, listen, I know we just met, but can you take care of this for me?
Was this someone at the bar or like a lady?
No, the person I was with. Yeah, it was somebody. Yeah. Hey, so one more bit of news.
I forgot my wallet. You got to take care of dinner.
I think the best part of the story is that, like, your tab was one beer. Like, who leaves their card after one beer? That was very Jonathan of me right there.
Because we were pre-gaming. We were pre-gaming at the opening night for the Goose Tap Room. Okay. Before a beer in the glass.
Celebrating the opening of the tap room.
Yeah. right. You know, drink before we go drinking, you know?
All right.
Oh, I've done that.
Yeah. Have you now?
As I finish off this growler.
One more bit of news, man. Cheers to the 2015 Stanley Cup champion, Chicago Blackhawks.
Woo!
So I'm very excited about that. So part of that whole week of battling, Three Floyds and Cigar City had a bet. And they said, hey, you know, the losing brewery will have a tap takeover at the winner's brewery. So they were going to do a collaboration beer regardless. But now Cigar City is going to do a tap takeover at Three Floyds. So we have that to look forward to in the upcoming months.
At Three Floyds?
Yeah.
What?
It was a bet
was
between
their bet.
It was okay. A bet between Three Floyds and Cigar City.
It's not even in Chicago. Come on.
Technically, it's not. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's kind of sweet. When is that?
Let the people be pissed.
Damn yeah. It! I gotta drive to Indiana to get Cigar City now.
Again.
Can't they just happen at the Three Floyds pub in Chicago?
Yeah.
What happened to that place?
I thought that
was Lone Wolf.
Oh yeah,
right.
It's called Lone Wolf now.
And they're like, "No, bro, we're just Lone Wolf. We got four dedicated Floyd's taps, but we're not that. We're just Lone Wolf."
Yeah. That's awesome.
Do we have a date on the Cigar City?
No date on that set just yet. But,
all right, we'll let everyone know because we'll have to be there. Too.
To be continued, yeah. Right. That's it for news.
All right, well, before we get out of here, Ken, where can people find you or tweet at you or whatever else you're doing on the internet?
Oh, socially, okay.
If they want to buy you a beer, where they can usually find you at Cobra Lounge.
Cobra Lounge during the day, usually around 11 to noon, so you can find me there. Man, should I be fucking telling people this shit?
I don't know, man.
You can follow me on Twitter at HopcastKen, and you can follow me on Instagram, Ken of the Year.
Nice. Nick, where can people get in touch with you?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Facebook page, / Chicago Beer Pass. Nick and I are always sharing photos, events there, other stuff that's happening. And then the website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes. Leave us reviews. We love seeing that. Always helps. And links to the events we talk about and all this good stuff.
True. Ken Hunnemeter, thank you so much for coming out.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This was cool.
Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Right on, man.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers.